become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. It is I, the J-Strom. Welcome to another episode of ETL Daily. This would be episode 4. I hope you enjoyed our first 3 episodes. Let's see, we did a Star Wars special episode, Bill and I did. Then I did episode 1 of ETL Daily with Adam Sexton. Then I did episode 2 with Adam Howard. Then I did episode 3 with Steven and Bill. And then we did the holiday special, which I hope all of you enjoyed. But I'm here again with an ETL Daily for you. Yes, that's right. I'm here to talk about film, television, pop culture, and stuff like that. It's a new year. Yes, that's right. It's 2015. As you know, I'm telling you nothing you don't already know. But many people at the end of the year, everything you look at, compiles the best films of the year, the best TV shows of the year, best hour-long dramas, best sitcoms, best magazines. No, I don't think anyone does that. But best apps of the year on your phone. I don't know. But it's just a fun thing to do, I guess. I, unfortunately, don't see... I could never make a list like that because I don't see all of the films that I want to. I do eventually, maybe. But I guarantee you that I don't see enough to... I mean, I have my favorite films that I've seen during the year, but it would have to be with the asterisk, and this is all I saw this year. You know, I didn't see like 100 films, and these are my favorite 10 or something. You know, it'd be hard to even judge how many I've seen this year. I don't know. So many films in this day and age are... they come and go so fast, it's hard to remember what year they even came out. Am I right? It's like, oh, that was 2013. It's like, I don't even remember. But, yeah. I will not be alone for this show. I will have a special guest. I'll go ahead and tell you it's Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. Awesome. We all love Steven, huh? He's going to tell us how his holiday went. I had a lovely holiday. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, it's a cliche, but the year did go by really fast. All of a sudden it was Christmas, and then when Christmas was over, it's like, wow, it's gone. It's over. And then all of a sudden it was January. This was the first time this year, I think, that it caught me by surprise how quickly it was that time of the year. And then it was gone. And I can't believe it's like January 2nd already. Yeah, this is January 2nd, 2015. Wow. I'm just excited for my shows to come back on because, you know, they take the winter breaks and all that. I'm excited about Agent Carter taking the place of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. I'm curious to see what that's like. ABC has been... you can't say that they haven't been behind it because they have been just running lots of ads and magazines. I've seen just flipping through Entertainment Weekly or whatever. I've seen many commercials. They've been advertising the hell out of it, which is a good sign. They're really backing it up. I really dig Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think it's a fun show. I think it had a great winter finale. I'm not even going to do the prerequisite thing that some people are like, well, you know, they don't have as much money as the Marvel movies. Yeah, we know that. It's a TV show. I don't need to say that. It's a fun show. I enjoy it. I don't care what the budget is. It's an enjoyable show. I like the characters. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. This is funny that, I never got to watch The Wire, which I wish that I would have, and I always wanted to. I even went and watched, I don't know if it was a year ago, on HBO On Demand, I watched the pilot. And while I enjoy it, I was like, wow, it's going to be hard to really get into this. because honestly, I am an HD snob. I can't say I'm not. I would be lying. It was in standard definition pillar boxed. And then while it was a very interesting pilot, I was like, nah, I'll get back to this. I always meant to. But then I see HBO has remastered the show, the entire run of The Wire. They've gone and they've done HD masters. They opened it up, as they say, and they cleaned it up and they tried to make it look great. And I got to tell you, one day I just flipped it on. I didn't even know what season I was watching of The Wire. And I started watching it, and I watched a good 6 episodes in one day. And then I looked on IMDb and figured out I was watching season 4. I was like, wow, I just jumped in there. But that I already was catching on to characters and stuff. I was really into it. And I was like, I was shocked at how fantastic this looks. You know, I'd read that David Simon was like, well, this is not the ideal to watch it. The ideal way to watch it is 4:3. Pillar boxed because it was made for 4:3 televisions, and that's the way it looks the best. But I have to tell you, I understand why he's saying that. He made it that way, but it looks so much better. I don't, you know, there's purists out there. I remember a long time ago, like, there's different websites like Home Theater Forum or AV Forum where there's these guys who are really into being purists. And I remember Jaws came out on DVD, this awesome anniversary edition, where they're like, I am not going to listen to this 5.1 remix. I'm not going to listen to that because I remember seeing this in mono and I'm going to watch it in mono at home. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you can, but also, why not try the 5.1? Why not have both? They're both available there. They remixed it. They remastered it. Give it a try. Why be a snob about it? Which I was. Oh my God, I'm a hypocrite. Hey, I did give it a try in Pillar Box, okay? No, but I did give it a try, and here's the problem. I mean, it's just the way it is. When you switch to HDTV, and you have a very large rectangle, looking at a square is fine sometimes, but to sit there and look at this, okay, 5 seasons of this show I can watch in standard def, and you're like, well, or I could start binge watching Game of Thrones. I've always heard that's good. And that was shot in HD and it looks beautiful. And then you go to that and you keep meaning to get back to it. But I read this thing by David Simon where he was saying, yes, for people who have these type of televisions, this might be the way they would want to watch it. It was meant to be viewed this way. And I understand why he might be a little like he created the show, but he cannot deny how fantastic the show looks. The cinematography and everything and opened up for 16:9. It's just gorgeous. It doesn't look like they didn't want to be shot that way when you watch it. They did a really good job of cleaning it up. And I don't know if there's a shot with like I haven't seen any shots with tape or like a guy being in the shot that isn't supposed to be there. If they remastered, I'm thinking they went in there and digitally erased anything because it looks like it was supposed to be shot in HD and it gives new life to the show. And if anything, it brings a new audience, which is me and anyone else, because I was a huge fan. This is what's funny is how backwards things are sometimes, but I was a huge fan of David Simon's Tremé. I love that show, and I love the way it had all these different characters that didn't necessarily interact with each other. It was kind of like the story went from character to character, and some of them didn't even know each other, but it was fascinating. And then when I watched The Wire, I realized The Wire is where is the same way, and that's where they perfected it, and then they made Tremé. And I can't wait till see David Simon's new series. I'm telling you, when I watched those 6 episodes of The Wire season 4 with these street kids and stuff, and they're in school, and just, oh man, it's so sad how everything is corrupt and filthy and there's drugs everywhere, but there's a lot of humor in there, and there's good people, there's bad people. It's just like real life, and it's like it really is like having a good steak. Or if you're a vegan, like portobello burger, okay? Something like that. But it's just so goddamn good, and you know it is as you're watching it, and I just couldn't wait to watch more. And I'm going to start over with episode one soon and watch that in HD, and just I'm going to watch that whole damn thing. And I'll talk about it on here because it's great television, fantastic television. And I'm glad I'm getting to watch it now, and I'm glad HBO is doing that. You know, I'm not this purist kind of guy. I would love for them to go back and remaster all sorts of shows that aired. I want remastered The A-Team, remastered Simon and Simon. I want 16x9 Riptide. I'm cracking myself up. But anyway, yes, that would be sweet. It would be rad. And, you know, different things happen between our last show and now. Like, for instance, an Entourage trailer came out. You know, Ari Gold and Turtle and all those guys. Yes, a trailer has come out. And if you've listened to our show for a long time, you know how we feel about Entourage. Watched it every week without fail, but also couldn't wait to trash every episode. Because the show just... First of all, it's like you watch it and there's something about it. It's easy to watch. It's just a silly show. There's not much plot. My favorite run of the show is when Vinny, he became a drug addict. It became more interesting, I thought. But it just wasn't, it's not, it's like it can be funny and stuff, but the show is also so bad. It's like a love-hate type of thing, like... Johnny Drama, I always loved him. They gave him funny lines and stuff, but Turtle is so annoying, and they give him stupid shit to do, like selling vodka or whatever. And, oh, God. And, well, anyway, watching this trailer, I see that Turtle is trying to date Ronda Rousey, that MMA chick who is also in, you know, Expendables 3. Oh, it looks so bad. And here's a quick clip of it, guys.
Lloyd!
You're upset.
Upset?
I gave you $100 million.
You're $15
million over.
You agreed to not go over.
Because you said I couldn't direct unless we agreed.
It's like when a girl asks if you want to bang her hot sister. Of course you say no. Neither of you really believes you mean it, though.
What is he doing here?
Take me for a round. I last 30 seconds. You let me take you out on a date.
Last 60 seconds, I'll let you...
Time! How much time?
3 seconds.
What's up, Ari? What kind of studio are you running around here?
He doesn't like drama. Wants to cut him out.
If they try to cut out my brother, I'd kill somebody. Even if you sucked as bad as drama, probably sucks.
Yeah, so that is the Entourage trailer. But I will admit, Steve and I will see that in the theater. We can't wait to see it and talk about it on the show. What the hell? Why not, right? We're going to see it. We're going to see Entourage. And I'll have fun talking about it. I don't know what it is about the show. Now, the other thing that has happened in the ether that has just happened, I've read today, there's a first look at the Ant-Man movie, but it's ant-sized. It's so tiny, you can't even see it. Okay, you gotta wait until January 6th during Agent Carter to see what's going on. Well, okay, it's ant-sized, so I can't tell what the hell's going on. You bastards! How could you do that to me? But are you guys excited about Ant-Man? I don't know. I mean, yeah, if we could go back into the Edgar Wright thing, that was sad and everything. But, I mean, the film is coming out with Peyton Reed directing it, and hey, if it's a fun movie, I will see that in the theater. Why not? You know, if it looks good to me, it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be hard to skip a Marvel movie in the theater unless I don't think I have skipped one. Let's see. I've seen Iron Man, seen Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, Thor, Thor: The Dark World, both Captain America's, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Can you imagine Ant-Man coming out and being like, nah, I'm waiting. I'm going to wait till video. But maybe it looks cool enough where you'll see it. I don't know. I'm curious about this one. This one is not like... It's not a question of whether I'm going to see it. It's a question of whether I am going to be excited to see it. You know what I mean? Kind of like, yeah, okay, let's go see what this is like. Or, dude, that looks awesome! I'm going to go... You know, it's just something like that. So it'll be interesting to find that out. You know, that thing about The Wire, it's definitely... I don't want to make light of it. Because I know the artist, what the artist intends is what I want to see usually. You hate to see someone take an artist's work and change it. And that's definitely, it's a debatable thing. It's definitely a conversation you can have. And I don't mean to make light of it. I'm just saying that they have actually made the film, made the show gorgeous to look at, not just what the show is and the story and the acting, but they've made it so pretty that it's, how do I put this? Basically, they've opened it up to new viewers, which is me, which I've said before, but there's also that issue of taking someone's work. I'm wondering, I don't honestly know. I assume David Simon approved it. But I wonder if he approved it because he didn't have any other choice. Or, you know, it's almost like if you made, it's hard to say, but if I made an old TV show, say, in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it didn't get, it didn't receive, it's almost like this show that everyone said, oh, your show was the best. But you never won any major awards, Emmys, Golden Globes. Your cast, who is unbelievable, never got nominated for anything. And now there's a chance for people to see it again because they are remastering it for HD broadcast. I mean, how could you say no to that? It's like, wow, all that work is out there again, and it'll be on Twitter. You know, there wasn't even Twitter at the time the show aired. Now people will do hashtag certain episodes. I mean, it's just, it's putting it back out there, and that's kind of exciting. And so it would be hard to say no to. And also, you know, there's the issue of changing something, but I honestly think it's for the better. I can't wait to see the premiere, the pilot episode again. And judge it based on the pilot I watched before. Because it doesn't look like they did a crappy job, a rush job. It looks like they really tried hard to make it look great and not make it look like a rush job. So I'm curious to what other people think of that. Because I'm really excited about it. A new show. Another show I've been watching, which kind of like when my daughter's been off from school for the holidays. And, you know, my wife has been off some days. That I was watching Marco Polo on Netflix. I've watched the first 5 episodes. And I got to tell you, it's an incredible show. It's gorgeous to look at. And I love the characters. I love that the acting is fantastic. It's a great show. And one thing is like, hey, when you have something you love, you defend it. And that is, I saw so many reviews of the first episode only. And so many, if you guys notice this, maybe with other Netflix originals, some reviewers, they get hung up on it being a Netflix show and Netflix having an agenda of changing the way we watch television. And they're not talking about the show. It drives me crazy. Talk about the show, the acting, the cinematography, and all of that. Don't give me the, you know, well, Netflix is their mission statement is. It's like, shut up. Just talk about the TV show, please. Because that's what people are reading you for, hopefully, I guess. But some people were very dismissive of the first episode. They said things like that it was slow to a crawl and not much happens. There's plenty that happens in that first episode. And do we really need action scenes and everything? Can we have slow burner scenes? Everyone has a different temperament, but I don't need this rock video editing and everything I watch. I mean, there's audiences for things like this. If you watch Downton Abbey and historical dramas and shit like that, you're going to dig Marco Polo. Now, let me just put this out there. If you haven't seen it, there is nudity. There's quite a bit of it at times. Hey, I'm not going to compare it to Game of Thrones, but I'm going to say it has as much nudity and violence as Game of Thrones. So if you're used to that, then you'll be fine. But it's a really exciting show, and it does make me excited that Netflix is willing to make something like this. They're willing to make a historical period piece. You know, they're not just putting, like, if you notice Amazon, every year they put out these pilot episodes for people to watch and then vote on. I've watched quite a bit of them. I'm not sure I've watched all of them. But to me, it almost looks like they're not putting a lot into production values. It almost feels like, are you interested in this? And if so, maybe they'll put more money into it. There was one called Hand of God, starring Ron Perlman. He was this judge who's kind of a corrupt guy. He's kind of an asshole. He's cheating on his wife, etc. And his son has been... his son and his wife were robbed. They were broken into. Something horrible happened to his wife, the son's wife. And then he tried to commit suicide. But he failed, and now he's in a coma. It's real cheery stuff. But Ron Perlman, he starts hearing God. God starts talking to him, and he's trying to help him solve who did this to his son and his daughter-in-law. And so he's changing his ways, and it almost looks like when you watch it, it's like they want to do a gritty show. They want to do a Breaking Bad kind of character piece of a man changing from maybe the opposite of Breaking Bad, where he's a corrupt guy trying to be good, but he's got to do a lot of bad things to get there. Some of it was very heavy-handed, but Ron Perlman's great. And it had some other fantastic actors in it. And hey, I'll watch more of this. And luckily it did get greenlit. But it's a modern day thing. I don't see Amazon making the big period epics like this yet. Maybe they will. I mean, I love the idea of Hulu original series, even though I've never watched any. maybe I will. I currently am a subscriber to Hulu and Netflix. Because it mainly started, I love the idea of Netflix. It's great. Netflix streaming. You know, we all started with the Netflix disc being sent to our house. Then remember, Netflix streaming came out and there wasn't a lot on there. But now it's pretty great, especially if there's series on there you like Chuck or like Fringe. If you guys haven't watched those, binge watch them, please. And tell me what you think. There's great reasons to have that. Hulu has saved our asses many times because shows that me and my wife watch, either there's weather alerts keep happening, or there's an election. Just something happens where the show gets screwed up. Or football. I don't know if you guys had this problem with sports anywhere around the world where the sports, the game goes overtime or something. And then when you go to watch your show, it part of it's cut off and it's ruined. Well, it's so cool if it's on Hulu, you can just go, oh, wait, let me turn on Hulu. And it happens to be on there. And another thing that's happened currently is that if it's not on Hulu, like a CBS drama or something, I'll go on Amazon because they have Amazon apps for PS3 or Xbox One where you can watch movies or TV shows you purchase on those in HD on your television. And something will happen, like, you know, one of my wife's shows will get messed up. Or I remember most recently the Ferguson stuff happened and they revealed everything that was going on there. So we went to watch some shows like Catch Up, and like two different shows, it was all Ferguson stuff, and the show wasn't even on the recording. And I was like, oh, crap. Well, let me go look for it. Check Hulu. It's not there. Hey, let me look on Amazon and, you know, buy it for $2.99 in HD or whatever. But it's worth it, you know, if we want to watch something right then. So I love this idea of streaming now. It's fantastic. I love the whole idea of it. I don't necessarily watch things on my... I'm not a big watching videos on my phone thing or anything like that. But I do love streaming it for my television. You know, there's some people, they love watching Netflix on their iPad or whatever. But I think I'm losing track of what I was saying. Basically, that shows like Marco Polo, I love that they're making things like that. And if you watch the show, just give it a try. You cannot deny that they spent a ton of money on it, and it looks gorgeous. It looks fantastic. And I would love to see that show in 4K. It makes me excited. You know what? I've noticed there. I keep seeing lists of best podcasts of the year and stuff like that. And NPR does a podcast called Serial. And it's not about breakfast cereal. No, it's S-E-R-I-A-L. And it's about a crime that happened and going over the crime. But I have not listen to Serial, and I want to check it out. Apparently everyone's talking about it, so that's pretty cool. And we're not any of those top 10 lists, by the way, so it's kind of, so don't expect to see us on there. Yeah, have you guys seen this new story? Neil Blomkamp reveals concept art for his take on the Alien universe. What? So I was looking at those pictures, and after debuting on the sci-fi scene with the impressive District 9, director Neil Blomkamp seems to have been investing some time on one of film's most influential science fiction staples, even if he didn't actually have a studio's permissions to start working on an Alien film. The Chappie director posted a number of concept art pieces to his Instagram account. The first being the above image of the alien xenomorph with the description, "Was working on this. Don't think I am anymore. Love it, though." Blomkamp doesn't elaborate on the pictures about whether this was an officially sanctioned project or simply work he was doing as a fan. A representative for Fox, however, confirmed that this was a project Blomkamp undertook on his own. There is currently no deal in place between the studio and the director. Oh, they should wish that, because that would be freaking awesome. An unverified Twitter account, seemingly linked to the Instagram account, further substantiates that, claiming that Fox had no idea he was even working on this project. Check out some of the concept art below, including Ripley wearing the pilot space jockey helmet and designs for Wayland Corp, as well as more images that have appeared on Blomkamp's Instagram today. So this is him, you know, having fun, working his artistic chops, and, you know, he's playing around, he's having fun, and it's pretty cool. And it's kind of a dream thing where you're like, oh man, Neil Blomkamp doing an Alien film, that would rock. And I'm going to say this right now, it would rock. That would be pretty freaking awesome. Like him doing the effects and all everything the way they have. Wow. So it's just him playing around and exciting his fans on Instagram and stuff, which is cool. That's a cool thing to do. It's just one of those, oh man, could you imagine? That would freaking rock. You know, I'm one of those people that gave up on the Aliens franchise a long time ago. The same way I'm giving up on Terminator, where, you know, I'll watch the films, I guess, but I never saw that last Alien Predator movie. I never even saw Predators all the way through. I just saw it on HBO, just bits of it. I didn't really give a shit. Just lost faith in it. Prometheus. Watching that, I tried to be very open-minded, but it's not a very entertaining film to me. Sure, it's gorgeous to look at, but looking back on it now, I've even sat and watched parts of it on HBO, and I'm just like, oh, I can't stay interested in this. I just changed the channels. So it's bringing somebody like Neil Blomkamp to handle Alien would be so freaking exciting, because I'm afraid that Ridley Scott has nothing new to say on the matter. I mean, he may, but I don't care what he has to say on it. I'm just not excited anymore. James Cameron doing Aliens was awesome. An awesome follow-up to Alien. And let's just leave it at that. Although, I do love the part where Ron Perlman shoots the spider in Alien 4. That's probably the only thing I like from that film. But, yeah. Good stuff. Now, I hope you guys like TV shows and stuff that we talk about. It's okay if you don't, but what's funny is Celebrity Apprentice, which we always cover on Nowhere in Mulberry or Entertainment Landfill, is returning. But I don't know if you guys knew this, but it actually was supposed to air like earlier in the year. Like I think last, I'm going to say, usually it airs in the summer or maybe in the March, April, May times, but it should have aired already. Here's the funny thing is I've read that Joan Rivers is in a lot of the season. She's there a lot. And now, of course, she's passed on. So now they're finally going to, I think it airs this Sunday. It's going to start. It's going to be so weird. I'm wondering, are they going to, they can't possibly try to pass it off as happening right now. I know usually what they do is they film the show and then air it like later in the year. So I know that, you know, when the finale happens, the final two people have been waiting like 6 months or something to find out who the winner is. So I think it's been even longer for this season. They've been waiting a long time, and it's going to be strange if Joan is there for most of it. And then all of a sudden for the finale, you know, she's not, but of course she's not going to be, but I'm sure they'll do a retrospective and all that stuff, but it's going to be interesting to see that. I mean, it's always going to be a train wreck, you know, Celebrity Apprentice. I can't wait to see. Oh man, there's all sorts of, there's Ian Ziering, there's Geraldo, there's Vivica Fox, Gilbert Gottfried, Lorenzo Lamas, that Kate plus 8 lady. There's some other people. I need a list because I'm just going by the picture, but there's definitely people in there. I have no idea who they are. Lisa Gibbons, right? Terrell Owens, Keisha Knight Pulliam. All right, this is gonna rock, guys. I can't wait to watch this train wreck. I hope you guys watch that too. I want to cover that on the show so bad. It's always so fun to to watch that show. It's just entertaining. And you know what's funny is my dad, like, he'll call me or I'll call him. We'll talk about some movie we watched or the latest Marco Polo we've watched. He was really into Marco. I think he already finished Marco Polo, so I can't talk to him in case he's let something slip. But we would talk about the next day about Celebrity Apprentice. Like, so what'd you think about last night and stuff? It's like we would get into it. It's a lot of fun, you know. One thing, if you ever binge watch a show, say you binge watch Marco Polo or something, come and talk to me about each episode or find somebody else to watch it with you at the same time. It's so much fun to have a dialogue about a show that you're binge watching. It's so much fun. And it's so not fun when they're like, well, finish the season. And I'm like, I'm on episode 3. Can you hold up a second there? Well, I can't wait for you. So sometimes it doesn't work out. Well, I'm curious, did anyone watch The Interview on Video On Demand or Google or YouTube or, you know, I've never purchased a movie on YouTube myself, but you could watch it on Xbox or whatever. I haven't done that. I wanted to, but it's kind of like, you know, when am I going to be able to watch this? And I think I might check it out. Eventually. I've read some people, I don't know. It's the kind of thing where it's a comedy and It's like if my dad told me the interview was awful, I would go, well, that's what I expect him to think of it, that kind of humor. So it depends. Maybe I'll like it, maybe I won't. But I'll eventually check that out. Let's see, the movies that came out this weekend, The Woman in Black 2, no. Wreck 4 Apocalypse, no, not going to see that. Into the Woods came out already last week. I didn't see that. I didn't see anything, in fact. The Gambler. No. Do you guys do that? Nah. It's one of those weekends where I'm not interested. But, man, when I see... I don't know if you guys know this, but on Rotten Tomatoes, they review TV shows, too. Or they have list of percentages. And I'll see, like, a show that I love. And... who the hell's reviewing these is what I want to know. I wanted to talk to Steven about Ascension, the new sci-fi miniseries. I think it was supposed to be a 6-episode miniseries, but they changed it into 3 2-hour episodes. That came and went. I watched all 3 episodes finally, and I'm curious to what Steven thinks of that. Because I want to talk to him about that. So maybe a little bit later when he gets here, we can talk about that. The Librarians, that's a fun show. It's very silly. It's on TNT. If you've seen any of the Noah Wiley Librarian movies, they're fun. It's safe, entertaining stuff. And it's just kind of silly, you know. Don't expect to be anything challenging. But it's just a fun show. If you get a nice... cast of characters that interact with each other in a playful manner and it's fun, I'm excited about that. Or I can get into that and I'm entertained by it. Good repartee. Okay, first of all, it says Marco Polo 27% rotten. This pisses me off, guys. It's a great show. Audience score 93% liked it. User rating 803. Average rating 4.5 out of 5. Now, if you look at critics... average rating 4.6 out of 10. Reviews counted 26. Fresh 7. 19 rotten. Unbelievable. Did they watch the whole series? I just. What charms this show does possess will be difficult to appreciate when propped up in bed with an 11-inch laptop on your knee. And that's the typical Netflix viewing experience. What? So, okay. It'll be difficult to appreciate this show watching it on a laptop, which is the way people are going to view it. Why are you worried about the way people are going to watch the show on a friggin' laptop? Review the show, you dick! Sorry, I get defensive. Viewers who are hoping for the story to develop will start to feel like kids in a swimming pool playing the namesake game, shouting, Marco, without hearing anyone shout Polo. Wow, that's so clever, you dickhead! Wow, that guy's really clever, isn't he, guys? Marco Polo. Polo is just a stand-in for the Hollywood producer, taking up valuable space, thinking very highly of himself, and applying himself to content and context that he would be better off leaving to someone else. Well, okay. Every so often, the production does wake up with a sudden brawl or assassination attempt. These scenes at least have energy and sometimes emotion before settling back into a state of mildly agitated interwoven intrigue. I think people are just ready to trash this show. If you accept it on its own rather confused terms, you might enjoy it. Once viewers overcome the sluggish pace, there's something for everyone with Marco Polo. Okay. The lavishly produced and reportedly mega expensive, you know, people love to say how expensive a thing. Marco Polo can be a feast for the eyes, even when the overripe dialogue and uneven performances feel dramatically undernourished. Oh, everyone can go to hell. Let's see if there's any Marco Polo pool references. Polo is so replete with medieval warfare, lopped off heads, gratuitous nudity, and persnickety period detail, it pleads to be compared with HBO's Game of Thrones, a far superior show by nearly every measure. That's not fair. It's so stupid. Everybody can go to hell. There's no greater example of a network playing it safe and treading water in 2014 than Marco Polo, a dull period drama without characters to care about or a narrative in which to invest. Wow, I guess I'm just don't know how to watch shows, you guys. Alternately tedious and salacious, mixing incredibly dull political maneuvering with gratuitous sex scenes and cartoonish violence. Wow, there's... Oh, fuck off. God, it's so... making me so mad. It's a great show. You start the hour sweating. Another bloody, boobsy, broadswords, and hideous men period fest. Before the end, you realize there are worse things, like being boring. Somewhere in the middle of episode 2, though, Marco Polo becomes surprisingly watchable. Well, thank you, Jeff Jensen of Entertainment Weekly. Yes, it is very watchable. I'm going to let you guys make up your own mind. I'm just getting pissed off reading this. Marco Polo is a great show, okay? God, I'm going to kick somebody in his ass. Who wants their ass kicked? I'm going to kick some ass. All right, people like lists. Let's talk about the most anticipated new TV shows of 2015, okay? The first on the list, Marvel's Agent Carter, premieres January 6th on ABC. Be there. I'm excited about this show. Hayley Atwell playing the same character she did in Captain America, the original Avenger. That's not what it was called, Jason. The solo Avenger, the first Avenger, that was it. Yeah, I'm excited about this show. It's going to be cool. They're going to have the original Jarvis in there. They're going to have Tony Stark's dad. It's going to be cool. Can't wait to check it out. Empire, it's King Lear in the world of hip-hop. Skipping that one. Togetherness on HBO. I don't know. Man Seeking Woman. Jay Baruchel on FXX. Maybe. 12 Monkeys on Sci-Fi. Sci-Fi semi-adaptation of Terry Gilliam's semi-adaptation of Chris Marker's Legitie. Sands off some of the rougher, quirkier, weirder edges from the source material, but there's still a lot of paradoxical time travel fun to be had with the premise Aaron Stanford is stepping in for Bruce Willis. But you guys know who that guy is. He's a member in X-Men, X2. He was Pyro, the guy who could... He was Iceman's buddy who eventually joins Magneto. And he was also a hacker dude on Nikita, the TV show. I don't know. I'll wait and see. Better Call Saul on AMC. I am super excited about this show. I love Saul in Breaking Bad, and they did a spinoff. It's the kind of thing where, I mean, when Breaking Bad was winding down, the show was ending, it was very sad that you knew it was over. It's going to be over. The story is over. And sometimes it's hard to let go of things like that. I think knowing that Better Call Saul was going to happen kind of made it hurt less. And I'm excited to see how they tie it in with the universe and everything. I mean, I know we're not going to have Jesse or Walt anymore, but maybe they can have little Easter eggs or whatever. I'm sure they will over time, but I want it to be its own thing also. You know, Vince Gilligan and those other guys, they're so clever the way they plot things. That's what I'm excited about. Remember, if you watched Breaking Bad, there are times where you had no idea what was going to happen next. And the show, you were on the edge of your seat. And that's what I want from this show. And I expect it. Your Breaking Bad was a very funny show. Hilarious. There are times it made me laugh so hard, but it was also some serious shit happening on that show. I'd like Better Call Saul to do stuff like that. Doesn't have to be the same, of course, but I'm excited about that. Another show that's going to be on CBS. I don't know if you guys knew this, but Vince Gilligan wrote a pilot called Battle Creek for CBS, and they didn't pick it up. But after the success of Breaking Bad, they went, opened the drawer, and pulled Battle Creek out. And they're like, hey, maybe we should do this now. The second of two Vince Gilligan shows this spring. Through the bulk of his involvement, though, the bulk of his involvement with this one happened a decade ago. Battle Creek, a lighthearted crime procedural starring Dean Winters as a cynical cop from Michigan City and Josh Duhamel as a slick new FBI partner, was something Gilligan wrote and tried to develop before Breaking Bad took off. It got dusted off after the success of the AMC drama. I already told you that. With Gilligan otherwise being occupied by Better Call Saul, the man in charge here is longtime House showrunner David Shore, who has plenty of experience doing character-driven network procedural with ample amounts of comedy, and Winters has been deserving of a new non-mayhem vehicle for a while now. Alan Sepinwall wrote that. I read a lot of his reviews. Sometimes I don't agree with them, but most of the time, I enjoy reading his reviews. Battle Creek, I'm excited about it. I like Dean Winters, and Josh Duhamel's fine, I guess. Now, here's a show I didn't know about until recently. It's for Fox. It's called The Last Man on Earth, starring Will Forte. And it's created by Chris Miller and Phil Lord. You know, the guys who've done 21 Jump Street. They did The Lego Movie. They did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. It's pretty exciting to see what they're doing now. And they created the show The Last Man on Earth. Now, it's Fox. Hopefully they give it a chance because it sounds like an interesting premise. Here's what Alan Sepinwall says about this. I'm anticipating this one in part because I'd like to see the thing and have some idea of what it will actually look and feel like. To this point, all we know is that Will Forte plays the title character and that Forte is apparently alone in the year 2022. Is it a silent show? Will there be flashbacks? There have been reports that January Jones, Christian Shaw, and others will appear. So nobody knows a lot about this show, The Last Man on Earth. It's comedy, I guess. I don't know. Sounds interesting. And I don't know about you guys, but I do watch a lot of television. I love checking out pilots, at least with my wife. We'll sit down and check them out. That new Katherine Heigl show called State of Affairs, we've been watching that. It's a good show. Joe Carnahan has directed most of the episodes. It's been pretty entertaining. It's kind of like Homeland Light for the networks. I mean, come on, that is what it is, but it's a fun show. I always hear that Katherine Heigl or whatever, she's difficult to work with. What do I care? I just watch the show. I don't have to work with her. I have no problem with it. Okay, American Crime. Timothy Hutton stars in this one, and I dig Timothy Hutton. I've loved that show, Leverage. Fun show, great cast. They were like a family doing, you know, they were like criminals who turned good. They're like Robin Hood kind of thing. And that's all on Netflix, too, if you guys want to check that out. It's a fun show. Now, American Crime is John Ridley's follow-up to winning an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave. That's what they're saying. It's not me. You know, I don't talk like that, but it's basically a crime happens and they're going through the whole course of when the crime happens, the police get involved, the investigation, and I guess the whole procedure of everything in the season. So I think things like this have been done before and maybe it'll be cool. I don't know. But Timothy Hutton's in it, Felicity Huffman. I'll check it out. I'll check out the pilot. Okay, here's an interesting show. It's called Dig on USA. It doesn't premiere till March, but it stars Jason Isaacs, who I think is fantastic. I always dig that dude. He was on that show called Awake on NBC. I don't know if you guys ever saw that, but he's a great actor. He plays Draco Malfoy's dad, and the guy's a friggin' dick, man. So, this is interesting. It says, created by the slightly unexpected partnership of Tim Kring, who created Heroes, and Gideon Raff, who does Homeland, I guess. I don't know in what capacity. It doesn't tell me. My initial interest in Dig was based on the decision to shoot in Jerusalem and all the pride that involved parties were taking in that choice and how essential the location was to production. Then, of course, Vincent Israel forced production out of Israel and into first Croatia and then finally New Mexico. So now it'll be interesting to watch Dig to see how it handled losing the thing that was so essential, but also gaining 2 episodes worth of storytelling time for a century-spanning murder mystery that has been kept largely under wraps. Jason Isaacs makes literally anything worth watching. Yeah, he's great. Now, I am excited about this because, I'm a Netflix fanboy. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. In a dire season for new network sitcoms, the one new half hour I was really looking forward to. This is Alan Sepinwall again. No, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. So I don't know if you guys heard about this show, but it's created by Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, who are the duo who did 30 Rock. Everyone knows 30 Rock. I enjoyed the show. I lost track of it. One day I need to binge watch it and finish it. But she created a new show for NBC called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, starring Ellie Kemper, the cute secretary girl from The Office. She was also in Bridesmaids. And it's about a girl who's in a doomsday cult who finds her way out of it, and she's trying to readjust to her new life, and it's hilarity ensues. Well, NBC decided they didn't know what to do with it. So they sold the entire first season, which was already completed, to Netflix. So the whole season is going to be on Netflix. And Netflix, you know what they did? They went ahead and greenlit a season 2. So it's got 2 seasons. So when that premieres in March, I'm definitely going to binge watch that. Looks pretty cool. Okay, another one is called Bloodline. Now, okay, Netflix fanboy Jason, tell us about Bloodline. Okay, this is the reason I'm excited about this show, because I freaking love Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights. And this show stars Kyle Chandler. So I'm excited about that. But not just Kyle Chandler. It's got Linda Cardellini, Sissy Spacek, Sam Shepard, and other people. I don't know. It lists other people. But so this is from the trio of creators behind Damages. So this sounds pretty cool. Bloodline on Netflix in March. So the Kimmy Schmidt in Bloodline. So watch the lighthearted comedy, then go to Bloodline's serious mystery crime shit. So with a great cast. That sounds exciting. That sounds like a cool show. I never watched Damages. I know Bill did, and he told me it was a great show. I had to check it out sometime. I think I'm going to skip CSI Cyber, starring Rosanna Arquette and James Vanderbeek. But you never know. Maybe I'll check it out. No, I doubt it. Okay, and also, it hasn't been... I don't think we know what month Daredevil's coming on yet. We do know it's 2015. So I'm excited about that. Daredevil is definitely one that I'm giddy about. Like, you know, I'm getting excited about it. But I know it's not going to be for a while. But I'm excited to see how they handle it and the production values. The production values are, like, once I watch it and know... I read Stephen DeKnight, who did Spartacus. He described it as more they're going for a Wire... The Wire feel, like in the streets, gritty, but not like, you know, Daredevil doesn't interact with freaking the Avengers or anything. You know what I mean? This is like he's in his own world. He's in Hell's Kitchen. He stays there. And this is about the crime there. You know, he fights crime where he lives. He doesn't like go into outer space and shit like that. So I'm really, I want to see the self-contained world, and I'm excited about it, man. Freaking excited. And another show that I'm excited about in one capacity, and that's that Rob Thomas, who did Veronica Mars, is handling it. It's based on a comic. It's called iZombie on the CW. The CW, they... sometimes decide to give things a chance more than a season, and sometimes they don't. They shit can it. I love the first season. Well, there's only one season. I love the show called The Tomorrow People. I don't know if anybody's out there who watched it. Season 1, the only season, It's on Netflix if you want to watch the only season it has. It's a fun show. It took a while to find its legs, but I really liked it. And friggin' CW canceled it. And they set up a cool, you know, the finale set up a cool thing that kind of rebuilt some things, a new agenda in the show, and it was kind of cool. They introduced new characters, and they canceled it. So, iZombie, let me read this, by Alan Sepinwall. Veronica Mars, longtime writers Rob Thomas and Diane Ruggiero-Wright are teaming up again for a resurrection story that involves zombies rather than crowdfunding. Oh, you guys remember the crowdfunding for the Veronica Mars movie? Okay. In a very loose adaptation of the DC Vertigo comic, Rose McIver plays Liv, a young woman turned into a creature of the undead, but mostly able to function by eating the brains of the corpses that come into the morgue where she works. One unexpected side effect, eating their brains tells her how they died. Knowledge she reluctantly uses to help the local cops solve their murders. It's a strange concept, but McIver's a star, and she channels Thomas and Ruggiero Wright's snappy dialogue in a way that doesn't feel like she's doing a Kristen Bell impression. A very promising supernatural procedural comedy hybrid. Wow. Cool. I'll check it out. Well, the next show, hold on a second. Hold the phone. We have a guest here. It's Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. It's Entertainment Landfill Daily, ETL Daily, as they call it. The kids are calling it these days.
ETLD?
Yeah. So I've been talking about the most anticipated shows of 2015 and stuff like that. How excited are you about Agent Carter?
Yeah, I'm ready to see what's happening there.
We don't talk about it a lot on the show, but you watch Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
You're all caught up on that?
Yes.
I think that's a fun show. I think it's gotten, season two has been even better, don't you think?
Yeah, I really liked it. The one I haven't caught up on is Gotham, but, you know, we're talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. I caught up on all of S.H.I.E.L.D. I kept up with that one. I just got behind on the other.
What about on ABC, have you caught up on Forever? That show?
No.
Now, I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, the show involves a guy who's immortal, but it is a procedural. They're solving a crime
right. Every
week. So it's, you know, it's not fooling me. It's like, I'm watching a procedural. That's why most shows on TV are procedurals. But I was just reading about this one. It's called iZombie. And it's based on a comic, like a DC Vertigo title, and it's run by, the show is going to be run by Rob Thomas and Diane Ruggiero, who did Veronica Mars. And it's about a chick who's a zombie who pretends she's alive. She's undead, but she eats brains to stay alive in a morgue. Except when she eats their brains, she sees how they died. Kind of like, remember, what's that one zombie movie that came out not too long ago? The romantic movie.
Remember? Warm Bodies?
Yeah, Warm Bodies. He would see what happened when they die. Yes. Or he'd see their memories. This is kind of like that. Like somebody read Warm Bodies and go, like, turn it into a procedural. Because that's what they've done. They've taken a crazy zombie idea and turned it into a weekly procedural. But being the Veronica Mars people, it could be funny and witty and stuff. So that might be cool.
I think I've seen commercials for this one.
Oh, you have? I haven't seen any footage of it yet.
I think so.
That's cool. I'm willing to check it out.
I could be wrong.
Sounds interesting.
See,
just pretend
zombie,
like
the zombie stuff.
Just pretend like you have. Looks cool, Steven, from all the footage you've seen?
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Okay, well, I talked about it earlier already, Steven, and I want to bring it up to you because I was just talking to myself, and that is the Entourage trailer. What do you think?
I haven't seen it. Really?
Oh, you didn't watch it?
No.
Oh, my God. I got to show it to you then.
Okay.
But did you see my comment, which was...
I saw somebody posted about it, the Entourage movie, and you wrote, Steven and I will be there.
Yeah, I said, Steven and I will be first in line. I mean, because, you know, I can make fun of it.
How did I miss that?
I can make fun of it and everything, but
I was waiting to see a trailer for it, but I just saw that you posted. I didn't know if a trailer had been released.
Oh, yeah. All right, let me...
Watch me. I've probably seen it and just have blocked it out of my memory for some reason.
I don't know where it is. Let me just look on YouTube. Yeah, I'm going to let you watch it and then you comment, okay?
Lloyd!
All right, Steven, you've watched the Entourage trailer. And how do you feel about this?
It's just a big movie screen version of the TV show.
It looks like the TV show, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's got a turtle subplot trying to date an MMA chick. I mean, it looks as bad as the show, doesn't it? Like, I was trying to think about, like, I watched every season of that show. I watched every episode. But at the same time, made fun of it, too, because it was like the episodes are only like 22 minutes long.
Right, yeah.
There's not much plot.
They're trying to cover so much crap in it.
The conflicts would be ridiculous. They'd always give Turtle something stupid, like he would sell vodka or tequila. Eric would always fight with Sloan, and then they'd get back together. And Vinny, the only interesting thing was when Vinny got on drugs. Remember that? That was entertaining.
And then the brother, he always thought he was a better actor than he was, always trying to get a role. Nobody would hire him.
Like, we always thought Johnny was entertaining. Johnny Drama.
Yeah, and he was famous for the Viking Quest.
Yeah, Viking Quest. So,
wow, I can't believe I pulled that out.
Yeah, Viking Quest. So it'll be interesting to see what the movie, but, oh, God.
But he still wore all the stuff to all the Comic-Con.
Yeah. It's just when I saw the trailer, I go, yeah, but it looks like the show, but
just
you're going to see it in a movie theater.
Big budget version.
Yeah. So,
I guess big budget.
We'll be able to talk about it on this show, so might as well go see it.
I guess I had the same reaction as you then.
And I don't mean to be a grumpy bastard, but I had to do the post on Facebook of, okay, it's 2015 now, which, you know, in Back to the Future 2, in the future, it was 2015. So I posted this, just stop, with the article, Back to the Future 12 Back to the Future technologies coming in 2015. Okay, that's on Mashable. Then on the New York Daily News, 2015 predictions, Back to the Future 2 got right and wrong, okay? Then on E! Online, 11 Things Back to the Future Part 2 predicted for 2015. And then the Daily Mail UK, it's 2015. How many predictions did Back to the Future get right? Then MTV.com, 7 Things Back to the Future Part 2 told us 2015 would be like. And it just, there's even more. That's like,
Yeah, I've seen tons of them.
It's not the 2015 of Back to the Future 2. The internet is, oh man, everything Back to the Future 2 got right and wrong. Here's another one. Hey, McFly, Back to the Future Part 2 versus the real 2000. Stop it! Oh, everybody's doing the same article. It's all these different websites, but they're all doing their own version of the article.
All I do is sum it up with, it's a different timeline.
It's been 2000... It's January 2nd, Steven. It's been 2 days, and I'm already sick of this shit.
Wait till the end of the year to post that.
Oh, man. And it's funny, because when you first think about it, well, if you thought about it yourself, not the internet telling you, but you're like, oh, yeah, Back to the Future 2 is this year. That's pretty funny, because we don't have flying cars and stuff. And then we move on with our lives. But this stuff, it's like, hey, what did they get right? What did they get wrong? And I was thinking about this. I didn't read it in any of these articles. I didn't actually read any of these articles.
I didn't even click on them.
Do you remember in Back to the Future 2, they have fax machines in every room? Because when the guy goes, McFly, you're fired! And they go, these printer prints out, you're fired, in every room.
Right.
So back in the 80s, they were like, in 2015, we're going to have fax machines in every room. That was their prediction. Like, nobody had cell phones.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all had fax machines, like, in the bathroom, in a closet, in the kitchen. That
big
was their
room, entertainment room.
Yeah, so that's funny. And I guess I thought the kind of freeze-dried pizza was kind of a cool idea. Remember, it was real tiny.
Yeah.
And you go, ding! And pull out a giant
hydration.
One.
It's not
Hydration. I'm thinking of like
dehydrated
ramen
pizza.
Noodles or something. But yeah, that kind of drove me crazy, Steven.
It's just saying, just fix it with this. It's a different timeline, so none of that stuff will happen. If it is, it's a coincidence.
It's just the thing I guess people like to
think they're smart. with?
Yeah. And,
or clever, not smart, but clever with?
I don't, would it be, it would be okay if maybe one guy wrote an article and everybody said, hey, check this out, it's funny. But everybody has their own spin on it. Like, I don't even
have the... Well, you say that, but somebody saw it and... on somebody else's and said, I'll do my own take on this.
Well, I almost picture like in movies where, you know, they're all huddled around like, all right, everybody quiet. You know, this guy's smoking. J. Jonah Jameson. All right, it's 2015. What kind of stories we got? It's like, Back to the Future 2 when they went in the future. That was 2015. That was this year. What if we compare technologies they had in the movie to what they have now? Sounds good, kid. Run with it. But that happened like in all of these different news bullpens, you know.
Versus somebody smack him on the head. It's just now 2015.
Yeah.
Shut up and wait till the end of the year. Then you can compare.
Yeah. Why don't we wait a while, kid?
Yeah.
It's like, and of course, you know, I remember Bill talking about on Cyber Monday, like what... Oh, Cyber Sex Monday, and I'm waiting for on Twitter, everybody like, 2015, where's our flying cars? You know, or like, hey, where's our hoverboard? You know, don't you expect to see that a million times?
They've already got the hoverboard, the new magnetic Lev hoverboard.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. That's pretty funny.
It's $10,000. It only works on a metal surface.
But I don't, I'm, you know, I'm kidding. It doesn't really drive me that crazy. I just
it
like,
does drive you crazy.
I like to bitch about it. You know what I mean? I love to look at these sites and then bitch about things. Now, Steven, did you see the interview?
No.
Will you see it now that you can see it?
Yeah, I'll go see it.
Yeah, I mean, what's better?
I would have seen it on Christmas Day if it had been at the regular theater. I wasn't going to drive to Plano to go see it. And I just, I don't know about streaming it or not. I mean, I thought about it and I just didn't.
It's funny on Facebook, I posted the Clouseau versus Kato.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching A to Z on NBC. It's a sitcom. I don't know if you've ever watched it.
No, you told me about it though.
Well, it's a funny show. I think NBC has already said they're just burning off episodes. It's not coming back or anything. But I like the show. I think it's funny. And they had a funny reference on the show where the main character was out with his girlfriend. And this guy got up in her face and called her a bitch. So he wanted to kick the guy's ass. But instead, the girl like grabbed the hippie guy's flip-flop. She threw it on the roof. And he goes, dude, that's not cool. You know how much that flip-flop costs? And so he like leaves him alone. And the guy was like, I should have kicked that guy's ass. Wouldn't she have thought that was badass or something? And his friend is like, you should have been more on the ball, man. That guy shouldn't even been able to say anything. You should have knocked him out before he even got a word out. And he's like, I'm off my game, man. The last time I fought was with you when we were kids. And he goes, am I going to have to Kato you? And he goes, I think you are. So for the rest of the episode, he keeps surprising him in places. Like he's in the trash can. He's like, ah, and he attacks him. So he has to fight him. So whenever it happens at work, there's some lady who goes, fight, fight, and everyone gathers around as they're fighting. So it's kind of funny. And then I started thinking about the old Pink Panther things. Those were always so funny.
Yeah.
When he would
Kato
would surprise him. And I forgot about the one, you know, I forgot which movie it was in. I think it was in the Return of the Pink Panther it's after the incident where he was hanging in the bed, where he's going, ah, you know, Clouseau comes in, he's like, hey, and he walks into the room, and he's like, huh. And he walks around, he goes into another room, there's nobody there, he's like, huh. And remember, he had groceries, so he sits him down, he opens the fridge, the kid's like, ah, he comes out of the refrigerator, and that's how he starts fighting. But it always gets interrupted by a phone call. He's like, Inspector Clouseau's residence, and he answers, and he goes, it's for you, and he hands him, but Clouseau always gets a cheap shot in on him. He like hits him in the net throat with a stick or knocks him
over. Smashes him over the head with a phone.
But I was watching those videos and I was just cracking up. I forgot when I was a kid how much I loved those fights between him and Kato. It was hilarious. But on that show A to Z, they did the spoof of that. And it reminded me of how funny that was. I dug that stuff.
So the new producers of the TV shows aren't old enough to understand that, is what you're saying? So they're not appreciating it?
Well,
the TV station, not the...
NBC, no, yeah. Of course not. They didn't give it a chance. It's a cool show.
The producers of the show itself... appreciate.
Remember, because they had that joke also about hoverboards from Back to the Future, where Leah Thompson said, sorry, that he was kidding. It doesn't. And then at the very end, that showed her riding around her house. Someone like, she's lying. They do have them. How could she do that?
Keep it under her hat.
Okay, Steven, I haven't seen you for Christmas, since Christmas or New Year's. What does Steven do on Christmas?
The whole family came up to the house, and we did our little gift exchange
at the house. Was it pretty cool?
Yeah. Yeah, everybody stayed. We had dinner, and I kicked everybody out about 6:38 somewhere.
All right, guys, Christmas is over. Get in.
Well, we didn't start early in the morning. No, everybody does their family thing, and I think people started showing up at my house.
These,
one
you know,
o'clock ish.
Back in the day, pretty much DVDs were like
the gift
number
gift.
One gift. What is it now? Is it gift cards?
Yes,
mostly. Yeah,
I actually asked for stuff. You know, it's just like eh.
Do you ask for specific movies or Blu-rays?
Books.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever else, you know.
Now
that I have a house, too, I get house things or whatever.
Well, I wanted certain things for Christmas. Like I was telling Heather, like I need a new watch band for my watch. And I want a certain book that you can only get on Amazon because it's not. It's like a self-published book that by somebody did. And she's like, why don't I get you an Amazon gift card? You can get whatever you want. I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. And so I can order it myself. So it's not as like cool as opening like something that's there. But
see, yeah, for my mom buys stuff for me, you know, so I give her a list of things, you know, so I don't know exactly what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the surprise for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, I got some, like I got jeans and, you know, when you get clothes and stuff like that, it's like, oh, this is a necessity. Or, you know, I got Guardians of the Galaxy, which is what I really wanted mostly out of it. But it's cool to get gift cards. Like I got a few restaurant gift cards where I know like I could take Emma, like her and I went to the Cheesecake Factory. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. So I like gift cards. Gift cards are fun. Or Best Buy gift card, you end up, like, when a big game comes out, it's like, oh, yeah, I got a gift card, I can get that, you know, something like that. Now, you've been playing Xbox, right?
Mm-hmm.
What games are you playing now?
I still play the Assassin's Creed 4.
Mm-hmm.
And Minecrafting, and they put out some, I haven't downloaded them yet, but they've added some new missions to the Sunset Overdrive, which.
Oh, really? That's cool. I like when they do that.
I need to put it in and add them, but they just came out last week, I think. And
it's Xbox One Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
So does it look better or is it just crisper?
It's crisper. It's a larger field right now. I haven't found
field of vision.
You start off with one little map in the middle. I don't know if you've looked at
the
360 version.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're limited. You only got like 400. I guess, unless you play online.
Right.
I think it's unlimited there. But on the one, I think it's almost infinite. I don't know. I haven't reached an end of my world yet.
Right.
So right now I've got 9 maps.
Uh-huh.
So I can travel between 9 zones right now, and I'll know where I'm at.
Oh, that's cool. So have you built, this cool world and stuff?
Or? I'm working on it. I just started this. Remember, I just started the one so I've restarted my world. You can pull in the worlds from your other 360 or whatever, but I don't think it ever works the same. It seems weird to me. We've tried it.
I got Emma Minecraft for the 360 because I put that in her room and I was watching her play. And it's so funny because the game is like really peaceful and, you know, and she's going like, dip, 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 like hitting things and going, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh. And I'm like getting really sleepy watching her play it because like all she's doing is building things and
she's just in creative mode.
Yeah,
right?
Everything. Yeah, little tapping noises and
I'm in a like survival
hypnotic
mode, so you have to watch out skeletons and zombies. And,
yeah, she didn't
and
want
creepers.
Any of that. It was so fun.
And now in the one, they've got little baby zombies that attack you, and they're fast.
That's funny.
I was sitting there, I didn't realize it, you know, and I'm sitting there and you hear the the noise of the little zombie. I'm like going, what is that? You know, and you hear, and they run. And that's what it's, you know, it's like real fast. Turn around, all of a sudden it's coming at you. And some of them wear armor, have armor on.
Holy crap. Do you just have swords in there, or how do you fight them off?
So, well, you can get bows and arrows and swords.
It's funny, Emma, you know, because she's just by herself. She's like, I don't want anything to attack me. I just want to build stuff. And, you know, as soon as she downloaded it, she was just like, I want to get all the different stuff. You know, she wants all the expansion things and, like, mm-hmm. the DLCs. And I'm like, well, you only had this for, like, a couple of hours and you're already wanting to, like, add new stuff. Can't you, you know, she wants me to spend more money on it, you know?
Well, it's like what I, you know, my brother's son played, and he was like, yeah, all the diamonds and stuff are down on a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing I do is start digging down to that level and start looking for the diamonds and stuff to upgrade your armor and all that. So you got to watch out running into lava flows or lakes and rivers. And
I mean, watching her play it, I see now, like before, I was like, what the hell is Minecraft? But as she shows it to me, she's learned so much about it just watching videos that she could pick it up and know how to do things.
Once you start playing and you're doing it in the survival mode and the zombies and stuff attack you, and they've got, when you're digging around, you'll find like a zombie generator. Mm-hmm. It's like a little cage, and there you see a little zombie inside spinning around, and every few minutes, two or three zombies will pop out. So you sit there and get points by killing them as they pop out.
Oh, okay.
You build up your little whatever it is. You know, you'll get so many points, and then you can build an enchantment table, and then you get your swords or pickaxes, and you put enchantments on them and make them stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Emma was showing me something like that. And it's so funny. I was like, come on, fight some zombies. And she's like, no. And I was like, come on.
Once you get armor, it's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have any armor, then like when you first start your world and you're vulnerable, you have nothing. You know, you just start, you're like, holy crap. So you, as soon as it becomes nighttime, everything comes out. Daytime, right. You're safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, she was, can you like build a fortress during the daytime and they can't get you at night?
Yeah.
Or something like that? Because that's what I was thinking, like a moat or something?
You got to keep it a certain size so they won't appear in it.
Oh, okay.
They can materialize most places.
Oh.
So you,
when it comes to like when she was creating the world, she was like, what should I name it? And I was like, Emmatopia. She's like, no. And I was like, you know, like,
yeah, I'll sit and play for hours.
Kingdom of the J-Strom or something. She's like, no. And finally she goes, I'll just call it World. And I was like, World? That's boring. No, I'm just going to call it World. And I was like, okay. And I was just like, come on. You gotta be more creative than that. But she just wants to get in there and build stuff. She doesn't care about the name of it or whatever. But I could see how it could become addictive, just creating things. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I sat one day this week, and I started playing probably about 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night.
Wow.
I'm on vacation, so it was just like, you know, I'd slept in or whatever.
I want to see what your world looks like.
And then next thing I know, my brother is getting up for work, and I'm still playing.
Was he like, it's like
no, he just was like, I was like, oh, shit, it's this late. All right, turn it off. Save it, go to sleep.
No, it'd be funny if you just walk by and you saw him shaking his head.
No, because he does the same thing.
those are the good old days, staying up late, playing games and stuff. I'll do that sometimes during the day. I've got to, like,
when I feel my rage on, I go get my Assassin's Creed and start killing.
Nice. I need a new game to play. I've gotten burned out on Destiny. I'll play it every once in a while, and I'm like, oh, why am I playing this?
Because it's just the same shit over and over again. Since I've completed the Sunset Overdrive, and I was like, okay, if I can complete a game, it's fairly easy. I'll admit it.
Did you get any new games during Christmas or anything? Or
no.
Are you curious about the...
I messed around with that something dogs.
Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs, yeah. I was going to say Mad Dogs, but I knew that wasn't right.
What about GTA 5? You know,
I don't have it. I'll wait for it to drop in price. Wait for that drop.
Yeah, I had it on I still have it on 360.
I've got it on 360.
And now that it's on Xbox One, and
my
laser's
starting to mess
gorgeous.
Up on the 360. It's doing it's the non-reading again.
Still acting up. Did you move it like into your bedroom?
No.
It's hard to switch back to 360 after playing the Xbox One, isn't it? But it's just like I moved the 360 into Emma's room. It's like, what am I going to go in her room and play Grand Theft Auto? You know, I've got to get the new updated version.
Can't leave it in the disk drive accidentally.
I see her playing that, running over people. Oh my God, what have I done?
Bitches.
Yeah, and the dialogue in there is horrible, you know. There's no way I could let her watch a minute of that game, you know, unless I'm a terrible parent. But I want to finish that storyline, but I'd like to do it on the Xbox One. You know, what's funny is one idea I had, since I have the Xbox One, you start to think, will I ever play any of these Xbox 360 games again that I have? Probably not. Like, what do you do with your old games? Do you just leave them on a shelf? I was thinking, hey,
I don't have that many, honestly.
Right. I mean, I don't have as many as some people. I'm going to say, just guesstimate, 30 games, maybe for the 360.
I've got maybe a dozen or so.
And I was thinking, okay, how many of these will Emma play? And she picked out the Lego game, and she had no interest in playing any of the other ones. You know, a lot of them are like Bad Company or Battlefield or whatever. Grand Theft Auto 4 or whatever. Gears of War, she's not going to play that. So I was like, hey, maybe I could sell these games, and just whatever credit I get at GameStop, we could use to get her a game on like the 3DS or whatever. And it's so depressing to see, like, the most recent game that I have for the 360 was Grand Theft Auto 5. The most you can get for that is about $7 to $10, depending on what condition it is.
Sure.
Most of the other titles I have, $1.75, $1.75. And if you start to think, this was $60 when it came out, it's depressing. But if it leaves to a credit of basically $35 and she could buy one game for it, is it worth it or does it just depress you? I honestly was too depressed to even do anything. So I just was like, I'm just going to keep them all.
Yeah, at that point, either you do one of two things. If you have a garage sale, you sell them put $10 on them in a garage sale versus trying to go get $5 for them, you know.
Right.
Or you have 15 for them in a garage sale. And let somebody haggle you down, or you put, you know, put a higher price and let them haggle you down to what you'll accept.
Yeah, it's the same with like DVDs, even.
Yeah,
I think most of these places, like the movie trading company or whatever, if there was a time to get more money for your DVDs, it's past. Like, maybe get a quarter for them now, like all the DVDs we have, because we do have a lot of DVDs that I guarantee you I will never watch.
I've been planning on going through all mine and getting rid of stuff, but like you said, you're going to get a quarter, 50 cents.
Is it worth it, or do you just keep them? I don't know.
Give them to our listeners.
Why would they want them?
No, I mean, just something we can sign it, you know, or whatever. Or give.
Yeah,
them,
I mean, probably have DVDs too. I mean,
well, I'm just saying, like, you know, some of the people who might want to.
But also,
if they haven't watched it or whatever.
But if you're paying for postage to mail it to them, you're losing money too. I'm just saying, like,
you're already going to lose money.
Maybe a yard sale is the best way to go.
Yeah.
Like, every DVD, $1 per DVD or something. I don't know. Maybe like the box sets, like the Star Wars box set, like $5 or something. I don't know. There's got to be somebody who'd buy it, right? Is everyone Blu-ray now? Even like Blu-rays, I look at that now, I'm like, why do I have these?
I don't have that many.
You know what's funny is...
I've got 50 maybe.
On Facebook, sometimes I'll see people like, you know, movie people. We love our movies or whatever. I have certain ones. Like, I just got Guardians of the Galaxy because I know I love that movie. I have to know for sure that I really want this
That's
now.
That's what I'm doing now.
Because remember back when we'd buy DVDs, it's... Like, dude, every Tuesday, Remember going into Best Buy?
I bought three or four movies.
Yeah, just like, okay, I'm going to check this out. And there's so many movies. If we went there right now and I just started reading them off, we'd start laughing like, why did I buy this?
Yeah, you know what? I realized that at that time when DTS was big and I started looking, see what was in DTS.
Right.
And I would buy a random one that was in DTS.
Because back then, instead of going to Blockbuster, we just bought the movies. Like, yeah. they're cheap, man. I could just buy the movie. $20 or
$5
for
rental. Most likely there's going to be a late fee.
Yeah, I can own the movie. This is mine, and I have time to watch all the commentaries and all that. I remember that, too. Like, dude, every commentary, we'd start listening to it. I haven't listened to a commentary in so long on a movie. I just don't care.
It's something you really want to watch the commentary on.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But I remember just everything. Like, I'd finish the movie and go, okay, let me look at the extras here. Commentary.
What was the one that we really liked? Was the Mallrats one where they had the picture-in-picture?
Yeah. Kevin Smith always had the coolest
ones. I thought
ones.
That was fun. If they would do stuff like that. You know, if you could see the people that are talking and they're watching the movie and you could see their reaction, like, ooh, you know.
It would drive me nuts, like, whenever, if it's a certain movie that, it probably happens on podcasts too, where somebody would go, oh, I remember this, you know, this day, and somebody would interrupt them and say something, and they get off track and never go back to their story, and I'd be like, I wanted to hear what he had to say. Drives me crazy, you know.
What was your story? It was like when Jay Muse fell asleep.
Yeah.
During the movie.
And it's so funny because you think, if I was there doing a commentary for a movie, I'd be so excited. And this,
yeah, but he was probably so high.
Yeah, this guy fell asleep. He doesn't care at all, but... Maybe that's the mindset you have to be to even be in a movie. I don't know.
I would say
not care.
You have a mentality like Kevin Smith. You get into what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what I like about him. It kind of reminds me of you in that sense where you're really into it, you know.
Right.
And you get excited about things that you're talking about right then and there.
Yeah.
So, I mean... That's always fun when you see the excitement in people, you know, the other ones in the cast, you know, you're worried kind of more what the director thinks. And if other people add in little tidbits, it's fun.
That's what's funny is because sometimes you realize, like, if you're thinking of actors, how great they are in the movie. And then when you see them there, they don't have much to say anymore. Oh, yeah, that was fun or whatever. It's like... I guess there's not much to talk about.
Most likely, you probably want to have like Dazed and Confused, and you want to do it shortly thereafter. You don't want to do it, 10 years after its release. You want to do it while they're all young, you know, and they still remember all the stories.
Yeah, that's what's always fun. Because Kevin Smith was always good about doing them
pretty fast afterwards.
Right.
So the commentaries, it was still pretty fresh.
By the way, did you ever see the Walrus movie he did?
No, not yet.
I haven't seen it either. Tusk, yeah.
I just ordered Horns on Blu-ray.
See, you blind bought a movie, dude.
I blind bought a movie.
What if you don't like it? No. What are we going to do with these Blu-rays? It's like when 4K, if that becomes the norm.
Supporting
we got 4K
Joe Hill. I liked his story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all I'm doing it for.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, like, okay, you have all those DVDs in there. Just be like, that's my DVD collection. It's here to stay. I'm not getting rid of it.
My front office room, I'm thinking of the closet in there and just building a bunch of shelves and making that my storage for my CDs and everything and my movies.
Well, it's kind of like comic book collections, like... Do you read them anymore, or are you ever going to read them again, or are they just taking up... At one point, do you know it's time to get rid of the collection, you know?
Well, I would say you could pare it down to the essentials of what you want to keep and what you want to get rid of.
Right. I guess I could do that.
You would say, okay, you really liked Gen X.
Yeah.
And you want to keep all the Gen X.
Like,
whatever.
Maybe you want to keep
all the Ticks.
Like, don't care. Ooh, I got to keep this. Don't care.
Right.
And make it down to one tiny box.
Yeah.
And, okay, with the comics you don't want, do you give them away to someone in your family? Or do you go to a store and go, I want to sell these? I've always...
Well, that's, I guess, where you're going to get into the, see what their value is, mm-hmm. if they have a decent value.
Right.
You could probably put it on Craigslist and say, they have a value of $300, you want $100.
And I don't want to be the guy on Comic Book Man, he goes, hey, I looked online, this thing is worth $5,000, and they're like, well, that's online, you know, where...
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're going to take a realistic view. You say, mm-hmm. okay, I paid cover price for this, $375. It's valued at $500.
Yeah.
I'll take $100 for it.
Would you haggle? Like, you know, you see those guys, he goes, I'll pay you $300. Like,
their first offer.
Yeah, it's like, I'll give you $300. Cool, thanks. You know?
Yeah.
But some guys are like, that's really open.
It depends on what I paid for it, though. I mean,
$500, I can't take anything less than that. I can't go above $375.
Yeah, I go in there and say, look, mint condition, I know it's valued at $500. Make me an offer. He goes, $250. All right. I'd probably, you know, and yeah. I paid cover price for it.
Right.
Okay. I would have no problem. I wouldn't haggle. Give me $300, you know.
Also,
no,
this
$450, dude. You're gonna make $50 on it. No, it's gonna sit there. I understand. We come from a retail side. We understand.
Right. Are there things that were very valuable to you at one time that you just don't even give a shit anymore? Like, you know
Probably.
What I mean? Like, oh, this is like one of my most prized possessions, and now you're like, I don't even give a shit if anything happens to that. So, do you have anything like that?
I'd probably have to go through stuff and look at it. And see,
remember,
I said, I've still added to my Flaming Carrot collection. Mm-hmm. You've seen recently.
Right, right.
And so I think I have probably 95% of anything published with Flaming Carrot in it.
So that's important to you.
That would be a collection I keep.
Right. I used to be very protective of DVDs. Like, I didn't want to loan them out to certain people. I remember I had that, I had the tin of Evil Dead 2. It came in a tin,
mm-hmm.
you know, Dead by Dawn. You open it up, it's got a little booklet and everything. And Vanessa's like, oh, can I borrow that? I want to watch that with her then boyfriend or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. So I loaned it to her. And finally, I don't know, a month or whatever, I happen to be back over there. And I go, oh, can I get Evil Dead 2 from you? And she goes, sure. And, you know, on her coffee table was like probably
she picks
like
up a drink and it's the coaster.
Yeah, there's probably like 20 different DVDs just laying there. There's Coke cans and all sorts of stuff. She was like fishing around. Oh, here it is. Here you go. And I looked at it.
Scratches
all over it. I gave it to her brand new. The thing was pristine. And I was just like, what is with all the scratches on there? Those were like that. And I go, no, they weren't. I gave it to you brand new. I didn't do anything to it. It was like that. It was scratched up when you gave it to me.
Naked on your coffee table.
So when I realized she's never going to admit, oh, sorry, I really ruined that or whatever, I was just like, I'm never loaning you another movie as long as I live. And I'll never forget, you know, I'd already told her, I'm not loaning you DVDs anymore. Oh, whatever. You're so silly. You're so protective of your movies or whatever. It's like, you ruined it. What the hell? And I remember one Christmas.
You go pay $15-$20 for a DVD. Let me ruin it and give it back to you.
Yeah. It came in a tin, damn it. It should have been protected. All you had to do is watch it and stick it back in the tin, and it would have been protected from a fire or whatever. But instead, you sit on your coffee table. So I remember her. She had a different boyfriend at this time, and everybody came over to my house for Christmas or whatever. And I think it was, the Tom Cruise movie. What was the one where Minority Report?
Mm-hmm.
And
he saw it.
Yeah, he goes, hey, Jason, can I borrow Minority Report? And I go, dude, I'm sorry, but I don't loan things to my sister because she ruined Evil Dead 2. And she was like, I did not ruin it. It was already like that. See, she won't even own up to it or whatever. And he was like, oh, okay. And he goes, and later on he goes, hey, if you loan me Minority Report, I'm borrowing it, not her, and I'll take care of it. And he's like, I'll watch it, and I'll put it back in its case, and I'll make sure it's safe or whatever. And I was like, okay, well, if Vanessa won't touch it or whatever, if she, you know, you promise to take care of it. And, he was like, yes, I'll take care of it. And I was like, okay. So I went over and I go, whoa, it's gone. well, I can't find it. Minority Report was just right here, but it's gone. He goes, oh, I already put it in my backpack. I figured you'd say yes. And I was like,
no, give it back.
I was like, dude, what the hell? I just thought that was so odd that he already took it and put it in his backpack.
He took then the box and everything?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
He already took it and he had it.
I thought you were saying
it.
He took the disc out and stuck
it. No, but he, I went to go give it to him, but he'd already taken it. And he goes, I knew you were going to tell me it was okay. And I was just weirded out. I didn't know the guy that well at the time, but I was like,
don't touch my stuff, dude.
I was like, I don't think I like this guy. And of course, eventually, you know, it didn't work out between them or whatever. Dude, that's a story for another time. Like, that's the last time. It rarely has happened in my life, but it was literally like ready to fight someone where he was getting all up in my face. And I was like, come on, bring it on, mother. And I was like getting ready to, and Vanessa was like, stop it. And it was so funny looking back on it now, because I was completely sober and he was drunk off his ass and I was trying to throw him out. This is the kind of shit I get sucked into with my sister. But I remember, like, I was like, just get the F out now. Like, I couldn't take any longer. Get out. And I, like, shoved him. I was going to shove him out of the garage. And he, like, got up. You know, you puff up your chest. And I was like, come on, man. I was, like, ready to start fighting him. And Vanessa was like, stop it. And I'll never forget what Vanessa said. Finally, he backed up enough outside the garage where I went, and then the garage closed. And he was gone. So she goes, oh my God, you can't find him. He has a black belt in karate. And I was like, bullshit. He does not have a black belt in karate or whatever. But it was funny. She's like, no, he has a black belt. Like, do a roundhouse kick on me or something. It's like, he could barely stand. He was so drunk. I just wanted him out of your garage. But I'll never forget. Just the kind of shit I get sucked into is like, oh, God. I'll never forget. He loaned. Oh, God. I don't even want to get into that. But it's just so funny. Like, the things we get sucked into. But I just remember that
Vanessa
Minority
drama.
Report story. Yes. We could do a story with that.
Vanessa drama.
But just know the whole the fact that she wouldn't admit that she ruined the DVD, that I gave it to her like that, will pretty much show you how frustrating it is to deal with anything like that. You know, loan it to somebody who will own up if they ruin it. You know, like, oh, I'll replace that for you. I'll never forget another one, Heather's brother. When there was at one point where, you know, Heather and I lived in an apartment. It's a tiny apartment complex. We started out in a one-bedroom apartment. Do you remember how tiny that place mm-hmm. was? Then we moved into the two-bedroom one that was a little bit bigger.
Slept on the sofa many times.
Yeah. And then I'll never forget, sometimes I think about, that might have been here, though, where a cat that we had, like, you stretched out. She was at the end of your feet, and you were like, oh, like stretching, and she went, because you like
I never
pushed.
Slept here.
Yeah, it must have been at the apartment, but you kind of like stretched and squished her, and she went, it's hilarious. But
drinking too much, watching movies, staying up late, fall asleep at your.
Heather's brother moved into the same apartments with his girlfriend. So I would hear, like, and I'd be like, what? Oh, hey. He goes, hey, man, what movies you got? And I'd be like,
none for you.
I don't know. I mean, what movie do you want to rent? And I remember, like, one of my favorite movies at the time. Yeah, what do you want to rent? $5. No, Titan A.E. I was watching it over and over again because I had it in DTS, and I would crank
another
it.
Another one of the DTS.
There's a part where it's ice crystals and stuff. It sounded so awesome with the bass and everything and the surround sound. You know, it's just so, you know, you're so into the rear speakers, like, oh, you hear that behind us? Oh, it's so cool. But he was like, hey, let me borrow that Titan AE. And I was like, okay, here you go. Total pushover, you know? And I'll never forget him returning that disc. It had, like, Coke on it, like Coca-Cola and cat hair, like, stuck to the disc. It was literally, like, I cannot believe how bad a condition you've returned this, because I remember the actual, like, the case
right.
that they came in. he'd spilled a Coke on it and never cleaned it off. And then they had like three cats in like a one bedroom apartment or something. There was cat hair and it was sticky. And he goes, "Oh, here's your movie back." And it was just like, this is acceptable to you too. This is you. There's fucking Coke on this. There's cat hair stuck to the disc. What the hell? And I remember he was like, "Oh, I'll get you a new one." And I was just like, "Yeah, that's gonna happen." Still has never happened. When it comes out on Blu-ray, Titan AD is like, "You remember you owe me a Titan AE, right?" Back when it was on DVD. But that's like you loan people stuff, and let's,
yeah, I didn't loan anything out.
Yeah, I think
Sister, I think I would.
Every once in a while, you would me. Like, I remember you loaned me Jaws. I'm putting it up sealed. Yeah. It's going to be fine. I don't leave
shit. There are certain people I know I could loan things to.
Yeah.
You're probably one of one.
Yeah. It's funny because I'll go into Emma's room and, like, her DVDs, like, I'll open one, like, why is Despicable Me in Wreck-It Ralph? So I'll go Wreck-It Ralph. Oh, there's Despicable Me. You know, and you have to go on a little treasure hunt to find him, to put him in the right thing. And that would drive me nuts. I go, "Emma, all you got to do, just put it back in the case." "Okay. Oh, okay." And then I'll go in later on and she'll like want to take certain DVDs as we're going on a road trip or something. And I'll open up Wreck-It Ralph and like friggin' Monsters, Inc. What the hell? Like it never sticks. Like I've got to go hunting for all of them. But it's like, it's funny how like I cared so much about.
I did that with CDs here recently. I was ripping everything of all my CDs, you know, put them on my Mac Mini.
Yeah.
And, same thing happened to me. It's just like, I would take a few handful in my car, set them in the seat. I'd open one, put it in. I go get the next one, and because I'm driving or something, so I just shove it in the
right
one that I've got in my hand. And the next thing I know, I've been like, "Where are all my?"
Do you?
They're
like,
all in the wrong place.
When I get Heather DVDs, usually for Christmas or her birthday, I get her like two or three DVDs. I mean, not DVDs. CDs. I get her two or three CDs that she wants. She has like a master list of like 10 things and I'll pick something off of there. So she sticks them next to the computer and she just waits for me to rip them and put them on her phone or something. And then, you know, the CD never gets played again, it seems like.
I actually do take the CDs and
do you still play. Do that?
Mm-hmm.
It's
right now I've got boxes. I've got five boxes that have every however many reams of paper in a box, you know.
Right.
So I've got five boxes completely full, and I still got some more I gotta finish.
Yeah, I remember. This is way back in the day. This is back when we had our one bedroom apartment. Heather had this freaking. It looked like a suitcase, and it was one of those you unzip it, and it's just CDs and a little photo album thing, just like. You know, and she
has like 250 CDs in it.
Yeah, and she would keep that in the car, you know, all these CDs. And I'm like, wow, you know, just like in this day and age, you could put all that shit on your phone now. You know, don't need all that.
You say that, but no, you can't because my iPod right now has got like 100 gig. They don't make them that big anymore.
Right, right, right.
So I can only,
you could put a lot of stuff on there, though.
I mean, I'm not saying I probably listen to every song, but now...
Do you want every CD you own on one device?
Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. How many gigs do you think you would need?
Right now, I think I've got almost everything ripped, and I'm at about 100 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. I think I'm...
They have 128 gigabyte SD cards now. You could do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you... Mostly music was all on the SD card, which is pretty much that's what they're good for anyway.
But I mean, like I said, if you want the iPod, now the new touchscreen one, you know, I've got the iPod Classic 180 gig or 180, 160, whichever. I got one of them.
Oh my God, I'm so insane. This is what's funny is... tomorrow, Heather and Emma and her mom are going to a baby shower in Tyler. Well, this week I realized, like, you know, we have two Chevys, and I got the one, it's oil change recently, and I needed to get the other one, the Equinox, the oil changed. And I was like, I'll get it next month or whatever. Well, the please change engine oil soon. Like a little reminder pops up and you can turn it off. But every time I turn on the car, so I was like, oh, I need to get the oil changed. And Heather was like, did you get the oil changed? We're going to Tyler tomorrow. And I was like, no. And I was like, oh, I'll get it done tomorrow morning. What time are you guys leaving? Probably 10 a.m. or 11. So I have a 7:30 a.m. appointment to get the oil changed tomorrow. And I just got the confirmation email like saying, per your request, your appointment has been scheduled for January 3rd at 7:30 a.m. Oh, my God. What have I done? I'm really going to get up that early and go get the oil. Yeah, and go get the oil changed.
Yeah, I was going to get up. I have to go apply for a loan for some property.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to go today because I was supposed to go back to work next week. But there's no work next week, so I pushed it off till yeah, I'll do it next week.
I'm usually good.
It's cold outside. I don't want to get out of bed.
I make appointments for that that car place a lot, the dealership, because it's cool now. Because, you know, before we had Hondas or even a Ford, it's nice having two Chevrolets, and we go to the dealership to get everything done. And you make an appointment online, and then they email you that their appointment. And it's funny is I usually get this one guy, Chris, but the last time I got some guy named Earl or something. He was an older guy. So I got up there and I was like, I have an appointment with Earl at 9 a.m. And he was like, oh, he's right in there. So I walk in and the guy's like typing. He's like, can I help you? I go, yeah, are you Earl? Yep. I was like, yeah, I got a 9 a.m. appointment. He was like, all right, let me see. What's your name again? And I was like, Jason Wallstrom. He's like,
the 9 a.m.?
He's like, oh, see, Chris usually helps you, doesn't he? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, here, follow me. And he goes, we walk in there and he goes, Chris. And he goes, yeah? Are you helping anybody? No, I just finished somebody. Hey, don't you usually help this fellow right here? And he's like, and I go, Jason Wallstrom. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I helped you a couple weeks ago. And they're, yeah. All right. And then Earl leaves. And the guy, Chris, is just looking at him. And he's like, oh, well, what seems to be the problem? And I go, no, I just had an appointment to get the oil changed. He's like, oh, okay. Let me. And so the guy just pawned me off on the other dude. He totally didn't want to help me. So let's see. Who do I ask for? Oh, this guy's good. I need to ask for a service consultant, Connie, who is a guy who looks like Wilford Brimley or something. So he's okay. I've helped him before.
Can you give me somebody other than Earl?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Earl's been let go by now.
Oh, man. But you go into the break room and they have, like, forever, they would have it, like, on Fox News, like, blaringly loud. But the remote is sitting there, so I'd go up and they'd be like, change, you know.
Volume down.
Sorry, change. We're watching Cooking Channel, guys, or something like that. Like, I'd immediately change a channel. Because and turn the volume down, and it was funny. I noticed like it's a plasma or something that it was like on 480p on there. So I went up to the DirecTV box and I changed it to 1080. I was like, "Who set this up? I gotta fix this." So I had to fix it, set it on HD, you know. So it's funny. Have you ever done that where you'll go someplace and it's not set up right, and you're like. Like change it.
I do it in the hotel rooms when I'm in.
Mm, is it usually
if I can, I do it in those rooms.
Right. Oh, there's times where have you ever gone over to a relative's house and they have the True Motion thing on, where it looks all weird, the weird motiony thing, and Heather will always say, "You need to turn that off," and I was like, "I can't. It's not my house." No, you need to turn it off. And I'd be like, if they want me to, I will. Or it's like, no, she wants me to do it when they like leave the room. Okay, give me the remote. Okay, let me go through there. Okay, turn it off. Okay, they won't notice. Whatever. Like, that's what she wants me to do. Like secretly be like a spy and turn it off or something. But maybe I should do that.
Go around fixing strangers' TVs.
I remember for years, I go over to my cousin's house.
Why don't you come over to my house and make sure everything's right?
And they had it on that True Motion thing, and I'll never forget talking to my cousin Kim, and she was talking about like, do you like HD? And I was like, yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? I don't know, it's kind of, I just can't get used to it. And I was like, what do you mean? It looks great. it has this weird effect. It just looks weird. And I wasn't sure what she meant until I went over her house and I go, oh, it's the friggin' True Motion is what she's talking about that she doesn't like.
Yeah.
You can turn that off, but so many people don't know. I remember when I went and picked out a TV with Heather's dad. And it's funny. I wanted to see, like, it was like an LED TV. And I was like, I wonder when we turn this on, if it's going to have that, you know, every company, like be it Panasonic or Samsung or whatever, they all, or Sony, they all have the different name for the same thing. This kind of True Motion thing. I forget, LG has a different one too, right. But it's all some kind of motion type of thing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, when we turned it on, it was set in like that maximum in that mode. I was like, look, if they didn't know me and they just turn it on, they'd be like, oh, that's kind of weird, but okay, this is HD. It should be set to off, you know, default off. And that drove me nuts. I love turning it off. And I was like, Heather, check it out. On? And she was like, oh, turn it off, turn it off. And I was like, and off. But this is how it would look, and this is with it off. And
yeah, my dad, they just swapped to U-verse, and I was like, oh, did you get HD? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, y'all got the HDMI cable? I don't know. I can't get stuff to record. I'm like, okay. So I went over there, and I brought an HDMI cable, hooked it up. I'm like, my brother goes, they didn't pay for HDMI. It won't be in here. I was like, oh, okay. Never mind. They just think because it's a box, you know.
Oh, is it?
Because U-verse comes with HD. They think, no, you got to pay for the HD box.
Is it a standard def box or?
Well, it's got an HDMI out on it, but.
Oh, do they have an HD box, but they don't have the HD package or something? Okay, yeah.
It's like they didn't want to pay the extra $10 for the HDMI package.
We were at it was a while back, but I remember
because like they always like the clarity of my TV when they come up.
Yeah, like that looks better than ours. Like when we looked at that's why like when we're at a relative's and you're like, why don't you guys have HD? It doesn't look that good. It's like, no, it does. You just never had it right, you know. We went, I remember looking at Heather's uncle. We went over there for a birthday party, and they had a, you know, an HD TV. I was like, man, this looks like shit. You know, it's standard. And I remember looking back behind the TV, and there's the RCA plug, the white, the yellow, the red. I'm just like, ugh. You're just like, some people are beyond health. Just forget it, well, you know.
Now they've put a feature on the new boxes, and my dad was burning movies off of HBO or whatever so he could rewatch them later.
Does he not have a DVR?
Yeah, he's got a DVR. I don't.
Maybe he's still stuck in that mode, like with VCRs, right? Collecting the movies that way.
Yeah. So
were you like, you can record them and not delete them, or?
Well, they've put a feature on there. You can't record anymore to a DVR, a DVD player.
Okay.
And, you know, so when you go hit the record, it gives you this message, some little error. I'm like, my dad's like, there's something wrong. It's not hooked up right. He's like, it's hooked up the same way it was before. I hooked it up. It was recording before. You got a new box.
We're just like, Dad, you don't need to do this anymore. Just stop.
So, yeah, I walked in there and I looked. I was like, everything looks like it's hooked up right. You know, so I hit record. I was like, all right, so.
Is he recording to DVD discs?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
He's got a DVD recorder.
Yes.
And does he really go back and watch them?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Because he'll take the DVD. He's got the DVD player in his bedroom, and he'll put it in and fall asleep watching it.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the guys, he's seen RoboCop a million times.
The new one or the old one?
The old one. RoboCop, Tremors. There's a handful of movies he'll watch over and over. My mom hates it.
It's like, no, please, not Tremors again.
can you watch something else? But so I was sitting there, so I got out my phone and I typed in that code, you know. It was like, so I Googled it and it says, okay, it's a deactivation code. It won't let you record. All right. Everything's hooked up right. So I sent it over to channel 4, hit record, it starts recording. I'm like, yeah, it's hooked up right. It's just they put a block on it.
Right.
So you can't record off the premium channels anymore.
I mean, it would be cool if, like, he was, like, labeling them, like, going online and printing up a cover and, like, being real meticulous about it.
No, he would, he puts it on the EP, so he'll put three or four movies on one disc.
Right, just like the old VCR
days.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember the, like, you could record a movie on the best speed, the middle speed.
And my dad's chicken scratch on every disc is, you know, it's like, what is,
he likes,
Terminal? No, Terminator. Oh, okay.
So he likes recording stuff and kind of like just having it, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like I said, there'll be four movies. So there's really no rhyme or reason. You'll have Ice Age and Terminator on the same movie. My dad loves the cartoon movies.
Ice Age.
He loves Ice Age.
It's a nice double feature there. That's funny. That's why, like, if you go over to Heather's parents, their TV looks great. It's because I set everything up when they got it.
Well, that's what I did with my parents' TV.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay.
Because I didn't want to go over there.
But, I mean, it's as best it can be with...
Yeah. It would kill me if I went over there and it looked like shit. I'd be like, oh, crap. You know, I wanted to look good for them, you know.
See, and the HDMI cable put everything into the squished letterbox on their screen. And my dad's like, no. I'm like... Yeah, okay. I understand.
He'd rather it fill the whole screen, right?
Yeah.
No matter
so
what.
I put the regular cables back on it, and it's like, okay, it'll be screen, you know. You'll still get some bar on it, you know, on some stuff.
So do they have HD now?
No.
Did they pay? No, they're not paying for that. No. So they just have stretched.
Yeah.
It's like
his vision's bad enough. He doesn't, you know, HD's not going to matter.
Don't you wish he did have HD, though, just so he could have it and show, like, this is so much better, Dad?
No, because they wouldn't get it in every room, so it really wouldn't matter.
Would it just be confusing? Or
yeah.
Have they ever called you go, it says HDMI 2? What does that mean, Steven?
I had to teach him how to flip between
tuners and stuff. Yeah, I have to tell Heather's parents that.
Because it's like, okay... If he wants to play it back on the DVD player, it's through a different, you know.
I've even done the, okay, here's what I want you to do.
It's AV1.
Or I would say, unplug the box, the DirecTV box, plug it back in. And everything should be fine after it sets up again. Call me if it doesn't. Then never get a callback. So I assume it's working. Or, you know, the callback, no, that didn't work. It's like, damn it. Okay, I'm coming over, okay? And I've done that before. I'll go over there.
So you live a little closer than I live to my parents.
Yeah.
So
it's my niece. She's called. And she goes, their Wi-Fi's not working. I need you to come over. And I'm like, what? I can't get the Wi-Fi to connect. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, okay, I'm coming over. I'll just go over. I'm like the IT guy or something.
So, yeah, my parents had no clue about a computer. Don't want one.
Basically, these days, it really is best just give them an iPad.
They don't even want it.
They don't want it.
They don't want it.
Like, I think, like, Heather's a mom. You know, they have
they barely want
a PC.
A smartphone.
But I think
they got a smartphone, but they don't pay for a data package.
Right, right, right.
So you just got it for a fancy screen.
I think most, I'm going to say the older generation iPad, once they get the hang of that, it's pretty easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think instead of, you know,
they would never use.
You don't have to worry about them getting viruses or anything like that, as far as I know. Unless they're,
it's kind of rare for Apple.
Yeah, it's pretty rare for, like,
I haven't seen a whole lot of viruses lately anyways. The only places you're going to get that is the dirty porn sites where you...
There was, you know, actually, Emma was trying to watch some cartoon or something on... You know how they
or
like
or
if
the
you
Pirate Bay's like Bill.
Well, sometimes if you type in Google on Google, you type in like some show, I don't know, say Avatar of the Last Airbender. There might be a site that says watch Avatar of the Last Airbender, and she clicked on one of those, and when you it's one of those pirate sites or whatever, and it has a box that looks like YouTube, and you hit play, and it says need to download plugin. And so
she did.
And she said, Daddy, something's happening. So I looked at it and it, oh my God, it was like, had installed like six different programs at once. There was like different kind of, you know, antivirus things that were total bullshit. You know, it wouldn't let me do anything. It was all just locked up. and it said, pay so-and-so for this package to erase virus that we found on your thing. And I was like, oh, this is such a scam or whatever.
Yeah.
So I looked everywhere online.
Paying for them to remove their own virus. Yeah,
hers is a Windows 8 touchscreen tablet. I was looking at all these things. Here's how you get rid of it or whatever. Finally, I read the right thing, and it was like,
just restart.
Reinstall it. Reset it to factory settings where it's brand new. And I was like, oh, let me try that. And I did. And it was like, it's brand new. Everything that was on it was gone. All you had to do, any kind of apps she needed for the app store, those are still there because it's part of the...
it's in your download manager or whatever.
Yeah, it's part of the app, the Windows Store or whatever. Yeah. It's not part of any the PC part. So I was like, oh, wow, it's restored. Because I was really getting frustrated. I was like, what is going on this shit or whatever? And finally I said, if you ever want to watch anything, come and get me and let me look at it first or whatever. Stick to YouTube only if you're going to watch anything or
Hulu or
Netflix.
The only parental
controls
you put on there are put an administrator password on it so she can't download anything.
Basically, I explained, if anything like this happens again, I'm going to have to restore it. It'll take anything. It'll just basically reset it like a new computer again. So any way you have it set up. But, she's not, you can't watch videos on any site but YouTube or Hulu or Netflix or whatever. Anything else, you can't. Just don't. Don't even Google stuff anymore. If you're searching for a video, search for it in YouTube. Don't search for it on Google, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we had to, sometimes you have to learn the hard way, you know? But it was so crazy seeing the how it affected the computer. And if that happened like in here, I'd be going like, what do I do? I would totally freak out because it's so frustrating. Like, it tells you to go enter into safe mode and then download this. Like, I couldn't even figure it out. Like, what's safe mode on a touchscreen Windows 8 thing? I was trying to figure that out. It was so frustrating. I was getting so, like, mad and just like, oh. And Heather was like, what's going on? I go, don't worry about it. Just let me work. Let me process through this. Because, you know, I have my own process. And part of it is to get super pissed and realize that I can't figure this out.
Red and angry.
But eventually you finally see somebody say something. One was like, reinstall it, reset it to factory. And I was like, oh, how do you do that? Look at this YouTube video on how to install it on Vector. And I was like watching that. Oh, okay. And clicked it and it was reinstalling or whatever. And bling. Oh, I worked. So yeah, I did it. And I was like, yes, I'm awesome. You know, I feel like, dude, I'm a computer expert, man.
Yeah, I've had to do stuff like that before. A friend of mine got a virus and from something, and she sent a video, said, don't open anything, you know, in the header. It's like, don't open anything, I got a virus. And the next, there was another email that says, I've got it fixed, I'm safe, you know, and I clicked on it and I got a virus. It's like, you didn't fix it.
Yeah, yeah.
I got it.
And a lot of times those things...
And luckily it was one of my throwaway computers.
Honestly, the only way you can get rid of those things is to reset it to factory settings. So the best thing to do is take a picture, or I forget how it's called. I was so like up to it at that point because I had to learn it right away. Be sure you have your computer saved a certain way so you can go back to that. Mm. I'm not using the right jargon, but you know what I mean. Like, overwrite.
Right now you do a system restore. You want to do a system.
A restore point.
Point, yeah.
Yeah, so you can just override it. Because once you have that virus, it's so freaking hard to get rid of. I honestly, at a point, I was like, what if I just smash this? Let's get you a new one next Christmas, honey. You know, because, oh my God. Did I ever tell you about that time? This is one last story for the evening, Steven. We should wrap it up. We were in the car, so I didn't have I'm driving. I didn't have it on Bluetooth or anything, and my phone was in here. I was like, Heather, answer this. And she was like, hello? Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Jason, can you talk to this guy? I was like, okay. And I'm driving, and he goes, hello, Mr. Wallstrom. This is Dell Computers. And I was like, that's my bad Indian accent, but... He was like, yes, we seem to have a problem with your computer. If you could get over to your computer now. And I was like, well, I'm not home right now. We're about to be home. Okay, I can hold. And I was like, what? So I got home and I sat down on the computer. Okay, what do you need? And he was like, oh, yes, I need to, first of all, you are eligible for $100
click
to be credited. Credit. And I was still listening to it. It's like, you will be eligible to for $100 refund. I was like, oh, okay, for what? And, you know, keep in mind, Heather told me this is Dell computers, so I have no reason to think otherwise, you know. And he goes, yes, you just go on this site, and what credit card do you want the $100 to go to? And I was like, what? Yeah, just the credit card you want, you just type in the information, and we will credit you. And I was like, okay, wait. What? Yes,
I have the Visa just, FU card.
Just type in the computer, the information on the website, your credit card number and all that, and we will credit you the $100. And I go, no, this doesn't sound right. No, this sounds kind of fishy. Sir, do you really think that the Dell Corporation would try to steal from you? And I go, well, how do I know this is Dell? Sir, if you... You will not get your $100. He was like getting like mad at me. And I go, okay, whatever. And I just hung up. And I was like, what the hell was that? And then I looked, it said unknown number. And I go, it says unknown number. You never trust unknown number. Come on.
You say, all right, well, give me the number to call back to Dell.
I was just like, what the hell? Like people, when I was sitting there thinking about it, I go, this works. This works for them. People do this.
Yeah.
They go, okay, let me just type in my computer. Oh, I'm getting $100. And they type it in. Then later they hear from their, yeah, you had some weird charge on your credit card.
Yeah, you're but maxed I was, out.
But I was, they kind of, I felt so mad because had I just picked up my phone and answered it, I probably wouldn't have answered the unknown number anyway.
Right.
But had I just picked it up myself, but the fact that I was driving and it was kind of like, Heather was like, oh, the Dell's on the phone. And I'm like, oh, hello, Dell. What's going on? Because we bought our computer from Dell.
Right.
So they're calling us for something. The fact that he took so much of my time made me so mad. And I was trying to figure out how to, like, you can block numbers on your phone, like your Android mm-hmm. phone. But an unknown number, there's no number to block. So
you block anything that comes in unknown.
Right, but I didn't know how to do that. There's not a setting on my phone to do it. So I read online like different ways, and it basically said, here's what you do if anyone doesn't know. Go, if you have Gmail, create a contact called unknown. Mm-hmm. Then you can reject any call by unknown. So now anybody calls unknown, I never see it. Sometimes I will look on my phone. Just like if I look at my dialer or what is it called? Logs.
The logs.
I can see that like I have 3 unknowns that called this week, but I never heard it because my phone automatically hung up on it. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm still getting those calls from that or whatever. So it's
well,
like
from some scam artist.
Yeah, from scam artists. But that's the way you did it. You create a contact called unknown and then you block it. And I even put a stop sign symbol on it. So, like, if I see stop or whatever, do not answer this. It's a guy from Dell. No, it's a guy pretending to be from Dell. But it's so funny. Like, just scam artists. God, I hate that. I still get texts from some things like, hey, look me up on Yahoo or something.
You remember the scam a few years ago now, the one that got, if you forward this on to everybody in your contacts list, Microsoft will send you a check for $1,000.
Yes.
And I was like, you know, I know it's a scam. My mom was like, hey, I got, when she was working, she says, I got this email from Microsoft. It says if I forward all the contacts, they'll give me $1,000. I'm like, how are they going to do that? Well, they're Microsoft. They know.
They know.
All right. How do they know your name and your address? Well, they sent me an email.
Mm-hmm.
No. Did you put your name and address in anywhere? No. I'm like,
you're not getting your money.
You're not getting any money.
I remember, like, I don't know if it was a couple of years ago or what, on Facebook, one of Heather's cousins.
Or whatever they're doing.
She said, please share. This philanthropic millionaire is giving, is awarding people who share this story of so-and-so. And I was just like, oh, God. And I went on Snopes.com and found it, like, the story. And then I copied and pasted it in their comments, like, this is what this is. And then the person wrote back, oh, no. I feel so stupid for listening to this. Thank you for pointing this out to me. But then, like, a week later, somebody else on your friends list does the same thing. You're like, oh, let me copy and paste this and show them that this isn't real. Some philanthropic millionaire is not giving people on Facebook money for sharing his story online.
There's a new one now with Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, really?
He carries the $1 million with him at all times. He's going to randomly choose somebody to give $1 million to on Facebook, right? On New Year's Day or something. And I saw 5 or 6 of my friends do it. I'm like,
oh, jeez. And I feel so stupid, like, because there's times
and right below it, the other people posted that. I was like, it's a scam. Floyd has nothing to do with this.
Have you seen the one? Sometimes, like, people say,
it's like, why would you believe he's going to give you $1 million randomly?
Stop. Do not stop reading this or someone you know will die.
Yeah.
Or something like that's like, click.
Forward this to 10 people, you'll get $1,000 by tomorrow.
If not, you'll have bad luck or something like that. It's like, go F yourself. It's just funny. Like,
if you send me another chain letter, you will have bad luck.
But
that's what I...
The fact that stuff works... Like, when the guy was on the phone, I realized that there's certain people that this works on. That's why they do it. They don't, I'm like maybe the 1% of people who are like, F you, and hang up. But they're like, dude, 99% of the people, they type in their credit card information,
even
buddy.
Even if it's 50%.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
10%.
10%. They're making a profit.
Yeah, I mean, if they can max out everybody's credit card that they do.
And when they see the new credit card information, they're like, all too easy. like, we just made free money out of just calling some dumbass on the phone. It's like, by the way, sir, I'm Dell and everything. Where'd you buy your computer at? Oh, well, it's an HP. I got it from Walmart. Never mind. And it's just like, wait a second. Why did I let Dell have my credit card information? I don't even have a Dell computer. They just luck out.
Stop. No, what you do is like, well, I bought my computer from Dell. You already have my credit card information. Just put it on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, like, don't you have my information? No, our system is down at the moment. It's like, yeah, sure. But I thought it was funny. He's like, well, you must not want your $100. It's like, no, I don't want your fake $100.
Don't want your imaginary money.
Well, Steven, this was a nice little talk we've had, but you and I need to go eat some dinner,
Yes, sir.
So, guys, I hope you enjoyed our show where we're just kind of rapping, just kind of talking about things. We weren't rapping or anything like that.
I'm gonna forget you're talking about recording anything.
I know. We were just talking. This is what Steven and I talk about. But, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being patrons. And if you want to become a patron, go to patreon.com/landfill. But thank you, guys, and Happy New Year. And we can't wait to do a new show. Steven, Celebrity Apprentice. Come on. It's got Ian Ziering on it.
Yes.
It's got Geraldo.
Who was it that I was interested in seeing? There's somebody...
Lisa Gibbons, Vivica Fox, Kate plus 8.
I was thinking Paul Rubens. Am I
Paul
wrong?
Rubens? No, not Paul Rubens. Did I see? But you know what? The funny thing I was talking about
there's
earlier...
There's a funny one that just made me laugh.
Oh, Gilbert Gottfried.
He's
on there.
Okay.
Gilbert Gottfried! Yeah, what's funny is they filmed that when Joan Rivers was still alive. And she's going to be on... she's going to be the person that sits with Trump or whatever.
Right.
On a lot of it. And she's no longer with us. So the show's really dating itself.
It's going to be distracting a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, she's poor Joan. All right, everyone. That's our show. Thank you so much for being here, Steven. And thank you guys for listening and supporting the show. Don't forget to give us some feedback. All right, guys. We love you. See you next time. Out.
Lloyd!
Now
this is podcasting.